Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castile with a look at week four of the 2015 February timings. And just to keep in mind that Venus and Mars stay very close together into March. And in fact, by the end of February, Mars is setting about 2 hours after the Sun, and Venus is 20 minutes behind Mars. And so they're maintaining their close connection and into March, and stay within 10 degrees of each other, let's see, until until about the middle of March, around the it looks like around the 16th or 17th of March, is they're within 10 degrees of each other. And Mars is getting ready to disappear into the underworld, and Venus is going to continue her journey in the evening sky until August of this year. So she's in the evening sky for quite a long time. On the 23rd of February, the Sun is square Saturn. And so this happens twice a year. This is the first square to the Sun since Saturn and the Sun were conjunct at the end of November last year, and is also the square prior to the retrograde that will take place on March 14th when Saturn goes retrograde. So that's happening fairly soon. So this actually represents a time when the Sun is helping to fuel the energy of Saturn and the relationship of the Sun. So Saturn will conjunct the Sun, then it squares the Sun, then it's opposite the Sun while it's retrograde. It squares the Sun before it goes retrograde, opposite the Sun while it's retrograde. Then it squares the Sun after it's gone direct in the last, like a last quarter square, we could say, before it comes back to conjunct the Sun. And this is the process that happens very similar to how the moon is with the Sun, and we experience the phases of the moon. So this is the phase of Saturn that is like a first quarter phase, a time for taking action, a time for really, you know, the Sun is helping to Saturn to navigate this middle world reality, you know, to helping Saturn. Well, actually, Saturn helps Pisces, the Pisces energy, to navigate this middle world reality. But the Sun is fueling Saturn, and Saturn's in Sagittarius, and so this is the quest for truth and meaning, and how do we, you know, what action do we take? What are we ready to commit to? Really, we could say at this phase of the journey of Saturn square the Sun, what are we committing to in terms of this quest for a new sense of truth, a new sense of meaning? What is really true? What's true in our middle world reality? And that changes with our awareness and our consciousness and our evolution. What was true for us 10 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, is not what's true for us now. And so that's constantly evolving and changing. So we could say every time Saturn goes through Sagittarius, there's a new quest, a new sense of meaning that can come through. And that's the intention. And the Sun is helping to fuel that, and also helping to create a time of committing to the deeper process of what that quest is about. And then on February 24th, the moon is going to move into Gemini, and it is activating that trickster coyote energy, and will then catch up to Aldebaran on the 25th. So, and this is significant because we're in a series of occultations. I talked about this last month, a series of occultations. There are actually 49 of them. This is the second one. This series is going to last until September of 2018. And so every month the moon is going to occult Aldebaran. And this happens every about 18 years or so, when, because of the cycle of the moon. And what happens is that the moon reaches its furthest extreme, meaning that the furthest declination it can possibly reach every 19 years. That happened in 2005, 6, and 7. And then it reaches its most inner extreme every 18 to 19 years. So that's happening last year, this year, and next year. And so that is actually into, there's actually probably maybe a 6-year period as it's moving in and out of that extreme. This year will be the most extreme point of this inner standstill of the moon. And that is what creates the occultations, because that means the declination of the moon, when the moon is passing through Gemini, is at its most inner extreme. And so that's why it is occulting Aldebaran. And occultations mean that the moon passes over, covers the star, and uncovers the star, very much like an eclipse. And it accelerates the energy of this particular star. Aldebaran was a royal star. It was actually, I just read an article that said Aldebaran 450 million years ago, or 450,000 years ago, was the pole star. Now, Polaris is the pole star now, but it was the pole star with Capella. And these stars have moved significantly since that time, obviously, because they're not anywhere near the pole star of Polaris. Which is very interesting, and we have this series of occultations that's happening. So Aldebaran is currently marking the eye of the bull, and it will do so for thousands of years. It's not going to move very fast. It's not that it takes a long time for these stars to move relative to other stars. Marking the eye of the bull for our entire lifetime, and maybe for the next few lifetimes to come, it will be the eye of the bull. It was for the Greeks, and it is still for us. So the occultation, and if we think about the imagery of the eye of the bull, how we see our reality, and occultations are sort of a shifting of an assemblage point and how we see things, that this series of occultations could be seen as an acceleration of shifting how we see our reality. So it's very exciting that we have this happening. And if you get a chance to see, you may not see the exact occultation. You have to be in the right place on the planet, and it's not visible here because the actual occultation is happening during the day, but in the evening of the 24th and 25th and perhaps the 26th, you'll be able to see how the moon is passing. Probably the night of the 25th will be the closest, how it's passing really close to Aldebaran, and sometimes it passes really far away. So if you are into noting these things, which is very fun and magical to really connect to visually when you have a chance to do that. If you look at the star map, it looks like the moon is actually right on top of Aldebaran in the map that I put into the written version of the timings. There's also the Gemini first quarter moon, and it's happening right around 7 degrees Gemini. Aldebaran's around 10 degrees. So we've got a first quarter moon going by Aldebaran, so definitely will be easily visible in the evening sky after sunset. Once the sky is dark enough, you will be able to see Aldebaran, so definitely worth stepping out if you get a chance to do that, and tuning in and opening up to receive the transmission. The moon is a transmitter. What is the moon transmitting to us from Aldebaran? Aldebaran is one of the Bohemian stars that the alchemists used for creating their potions, their amulets, their elixirs, that kind of thing. So when the moon is occulting Aldebaran, it's amplifying exponentially the energy that is coming from this star. On the 26th, the sun is conjunct Neptune, its annual conjunction to Neptune. That's like a new moon point for Neptune, a new Neptune point, something being seeded. And this, and Neptune has a lot to do with our abilities to imagine and dream a new reality. So dreaming energy, dreaming the new earth. What does it take for us to dream into this new earth dream? What do we want to have as our experience on the planet again? And so we started the month with this theme. We're ending the month with this theme. We're also going to energize this theme a little more as the moon moves into Cancer on February 27th. And I spoke a little bit about dreaming the dream of how we do society through cooperation and sharing from Starhawk's novel, The Fifth Sacred Thing. She's actually got a movie being made about this, and I put in a link for you to check out. I think there's a trailer on the movie that you can see. And I shared this, I think, about a year or a couple of years ago. They were raising money to get the movie done, so hopefully that will be coming out soon. And we will end this month with Venus at around 10 degrees Aries conjunct the South Node. And basically, this is something that can happen, well, in Aries every 19 years. Venus in Aries, the South Node in Aries, Venus coming by the South Node in Aries, and being together. And the opportunity for Venus to really connect with whatever has been the collective skill set of the past, of the warrior Amazon archetype of the feminine, and ideally being able to bring that forward in a way that is now part of the new destiny. What is the new vision that we have for the Amazon warrior, the one who is willing to defend and protect the cosmic order of life? This is the aspect of the feminine, the fierce feminine. And she is stepping forward more than ever. In fact, I think I just read something, and I can't remember the exact details of this, but there is a group who is proclaiming 2015 as the year of stopping trafficking of women and slavery as well. And this feels very much like a Venus in Aries, warrior woman, you know, mission and purpose, and Mars in Aries as well, because Mars is also still in Aries. So the two joining together to fight injustice, you know, to step up, to defend and protect, and to end injustice that has been happening. So it's a great way to end this month of February 2015.